الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with لمعة الاعتقاد The Book of Creed and Belief compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last time we were on the section with regard to the Qur'an. That the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. And just to mention a few of the points which we had, Then we had the point, all of this being of course taken from the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, we had the point that the Qur'an is composed of surahs. And the word surah is from the Arabic word indicating something raised and protected. Loftiness and being protected. And we had the point that each surah, except for Surah Bara'ah, the ninth surah, Surah Tawbah, every other surah begins and is separated from the other surahs by the initial phrase, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the extremely merciful, the bestower of mercy. And that the first surah of the Qur'an is Surah Al-Fatiha, and the last surah of the 114 surahs is Surah An-Nas. That some of them are long, some surahs are medium in length, and some are short. And we had the point that the Qur'an is preserved and protected by Allah from any additions, or any deletions, or any distortions, right until the end of time. Despite the fact that it has many enemies, that they are not able to bring about any additions, deletions, or distortions in it. We also had the point that whoever tries to play around with the Qur'an and mess around with the Qur'an, then Allah will expose him. Just as happened with the false claimant to prophethood, Musaylama al-Kadhab, Musaylama the great liar, who claimed that the Qur'an came down to him, and he was exposed and he was destroyed. Likewise, we had the point with regard to, which comes again today, Al-Muhkam and Al-Mutashabih. And that each of these terms has two meanings, a general meaning and a specific meaning. So we had that the whole of the Qur'an is Muhkam, with the first meaning of Muhkam, perfect and precise. With the meaning of perfect and precise, then the whole of the Qur'an is Muhkam. And also, it can be said the whole of the Qur'an is mutashabih, with the meaning that each part has tashabih, has resemblance to the rest. Each part of the Qur'an resembles each other part in beauty and in truth and in sweetness of wording. So in this sense, the whole of the Qur'an is muhkam, and the whole of the Qur'an is mutashabih. Meaning the whole of the Qur'an is perfect and precise, and the whole of the Qur'an, each of its parts, resemble the rest in that sense, in beauty and truthful, in beauty and truthfulness and sweetness of wording. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned a second meaning of muhkam and mutashabih, so that we don't confuse the two meanings. He mentioned the meaning of muhkam, meaning those ayahs which are immediately clear with regard to their meaning. That the meaning is immediately apparent. Muhkam, immediately clear. And then there are other ayahs, that refers to some of the ayahs. Some ayahs are muhkam, their meaning is immediately apparent. Whereas other ayahs, some of them, are mutashabih. Meaning that their meaning is not immediately apparent until they are compared with other ayahs which clarify their meaning. So mutashabih with this meaning, those texts which need another text to clarify their meaning. You need to take them in the light of another text, then their meaning becomes clear. So muhkam, that which is immediately clear, it doesn't need another text to clarify its meaning. And mutashabih, that the meaning is not immediately apparent, the correct meaning from it is not immediately apparent until it's compared with other ayahs or other texts of the hadith. Then we had the point also that the Qur'an is composed of clear ayahs, clear ayat. And that this word ayat is the plural of ayah. And ayah is a sign in the language, and ayah is a sign. And we had the point that an ayah of the Qur'an, that each surah is composed of ayahs, each ayah, a sign, it's so called, it's called a sign, because each ayah is a sign of Allah's greatness. Then we had the point also that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that there are two kinds of ayahs. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. That Allah the Most High has given us two kinds of signs, two kinds of ayahs. The ayah, ayatun matluwa, and ayatun makhluqa. The ayah which is recited, the ayah or sign which is recited, and the ayah which is created, the sign which is created. The first of these, the ayah matluwa, the ayah which is recited, meaning an ayah of the Qur'an, the well-known ayah of the Qur'an. These are sent down by Allah, they are not created. They are not created. And the second sign, the ayah makhluqa, the created sign of Allah, meaning that which is put in His creation from great signs, such as the sun and the moon, and the earth, and mankind, and so on, the day and the night, and so on. These are also signs of Allah, and these are created things. We also had the point that the Qur'an is composed of letters. As we mentioned, all of this may seem straightforward, but these are points where people of deviation have gone astray in the past, and have built further deviation upon. So we had the point that the Qur'an is composed of letters. The letters of the 28 letters of the Arabic alphabet. Alif and Ba and Ta and so on. The Qur'an is composed of these letters. And from these letters, the words of the Qur'an are composed. And from the words of the Qur'an, sentences are composed. And from the sentences of the Qur'an, ayahs are composed. And from the ayahs of the Qur'an, surahs are composed. And from the surahs, the 114 surahs of the Qur'an is composed. So in that sense, it becomes easy to understand the saying that the Qur'an is composed of letters. We also had the point that whoever recites the Qur'an correctly receives 10 rewards for each letter he recites. Sheikh also mentioned the point that the Qur'an is composed of 30 ajza, 30 juz, plural of juz, 30 parts. And that the Qur'an, in every sense, that which is recited, and that which is memorized, and that which is written, in all of these senses, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, not created. Contrary to what the innovators say. The Qur'an in all its senses, Qur'an with regard to that which is recited, that which is memorized, and that which is written, is the speech of Allah, not created. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan finished with an important distinction that again people of misguidance have gone astray with regard to. He mentioned with regard to the Qur'an that is written, then the words and the meanings of the written Qur'an, the words and the meanings are the speech of Allah, not created. But with regard to the ink that is on the pages, and with regard to the paper of the pages, then, and the writing upon the page, then this is the work of humans. This is human work. So that's an important distinction. That the fact that the Mus'haf contains paper, and this paper is made by men, and the ink that's used on the pages is made by men, and it's written on the page by men. However, the words that it contains, and the meanings it contains, is the speech of Allah, not created. So some people of innovation in the past, they tried to cloud these two together and make people accept deviation by not making this distinction. Likewise, the Shaykh mentioned the point that with regard to what is recited, when the Qur'an is recited, because again, the people of innovation, they tried to bring an innovation in here by saying, what about when the imam, what about when the reciter recites the Qur'an? Is that created or not? So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, as the verifiers from before him mentioned, that with regard to the recitation of the Qur'an, then what the person recites is the speech of Allah, which is not created. But as for the person's individual voice, his individual voice, then that is created. His individual voice is created, but what he is reciting is the Qur'an, which is the speech of Allah, not created. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues, with what occurs here in the Egyptian edition on page 129, and the Saudi edition, page 127, Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he said, continuing with regard to the Qur'an, he said, فِيهِ مُحْكَمٌ وَمُتَشَابِهِ. It contains the muhkam and the mutashabih. It contains the muhkam, that which is immediately clear, and the mutashabih, that which requires other ayahs to clarify its meaning. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, hafidhullah, in explanation, the whole of the Qur'an has the term applied to it, that it is muhkam, perfect and precise. And the whole of it has the term applied to it, that it is mutashabih. Each part resembles the rest in beauty, truthfulness, and sweetness of wording. Same as we had last time. Then he moves on and says, and part of it has the term applied to it, that it is muhkam, immediately clear in meaning. And part of it has the term applied to it, that it is mutashabih. It requires other texts to clarify its meaning. And each category has a specific meaning. So with regard to the first, as we had again last time, with regard to the first meaning of muhkam and mutashabih, that which is clear and precise, and that which resembles the rest, then the whole of the Qur'an is both muhkam and the whole and mutashabih, with both meanings. But with the second meaning, muhkam meaning immediately apparent with regard to its meaning, and mutashabih meaning not immediately apparent, and the meaning is not being clear until it's taken in light of other ayahs, then in that sense, some of the Qur'an is muhkam and some of the Qur'an is mutashabih. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama continued, وَنَاسِخٌ وَمَنْسُوخٌ وَنَاسِخٌ وَمَنْسُوخٌ. And the abrogating and the abrogated. I mean, the Qur'an contains texts which replace earlier texts, the abrogating, and it contains texts which are replaced, the abrogated. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, it contains nasikhun, abrogating, wa mansukhun, and abrogated. And this contains a refutation of those who deny an-naskh. It contains a refutation of those who deny abrogation, such as the Jews and those who are like them. So the Qur'an contains nasikh and mansukh. It contains texts which abrogate and texts which are abrogated. And that is due to the wisdom of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. I mean, why there are ayahs which abrogate, and why there are ones which are abrogated, is due to the wisdom of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Shaykh Fawzan then explains that and says, because Allah legislates something at one time for the welfare of the people at that time. And then their condition changes, and their need for that comes to an end. So therefore, Allah abrogates that which preceded with a new ruling. Meaning Allah abrogates, He wipes away that rule of Usul al-Fiqh is the taking away of a ruling which was confirmed by a textual proof, and its replacement by another ruling which is established by a later evidence. This being proven by an evidence that comes later on. One established ruling that's established by text being replaced by a later established text, or a later established ruling in a later text, which removes the ruling of the first one. And this happening being something established itself in text. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so al-Nasikh and al-Mansukh, abrogating and abrogated, is established in the Qur'an. And that is from the mercy of Allah upon His servants, and from His kindness upon them, and from His benevolent treatment of them. That He legislates for them at every time that which is suitable for them. And that is just as occurs in His saying, He the Most High. And then Shaykh Fawzan gives an example of abrogation occurring in the Qur'an. One ruling coming down, then later on another ayah with a different ruling coming and replacing the first one. So he said, just as occurs in His saying, He the Most High, وَالَّذِينَ يُتُوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا وَصِيَّةً لِأَزْوَاجِهِمْ مَتَاعًا إِلَى الْحَوْلِ غَيْرَ إِخْرَاجِ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 240. With the explanation, and those of you who die, those of you from the men who die and leave behind wives, should bequeath for their wives a year's maintenance and residence without their being turned out. Shaykh al-Fawzan commented and said, the iddah, the waiting period after death, meaning the waiting period for a woman, the iddah, before she can remarry, after the death, meaning the death of her husband, was to begin with a whole year. And then Allah abrogated that by His saying, He the Most High, وَالَّذِينَ يُتُوَفَّوْنَ مِنْكُمْ وَيَذَرُونَ أَزْوَاجًا يَتَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرٍ مُعَشْرًا. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 234. With the explanation, and those of you men who die and leave behind wives, then they, the wives, should wait for 4 months and 10 days. In the waiting period before they can get married was abrogated from 1 year and became 4 months and 10 days because of this second ayah. The first ayah being ayah 240 and this later ayah being ayah 234. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the year was abrogated with 4 months and 10 days. This is something abrogating and something abrogated in the Qur'an. So that's the first example the Shaykh gives. And then He mentions, Allah the Most High said, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 106. The ayah with the explanation, whatever ayah we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, then we bring one better than it, or one like it. Do you not know that Allah has full ability over all things? This ayah proving abrogation, proving naskh. Shaykh Fawzan said, commenting upon it, Allah the Majestic and Most High abrogates whatever He wishes from His speech and His rulings and His revealed laws for the welfare of the servants, for the welfare of the people, and the need of the servants for that. So He legislates at every time that which is suitable for it. And then when the need is finished, when the need for that legislation is finished, Allah replaces it with some other legislation suitable for the need of the people. And naskh, abrogation, occurs in the Qur'an. And then Shaykh Fawzan gives another example of abrogation occurring in the Qur'an. He said, as with regard to the Qibla, the direction of prayer, they used to pray at the beginning of Islam to Baytul Maqdis. They used to pray at the beginning of Islam to Jerusalem, towards Jerusalem. And then that was abrogated and changed to facing the noble Kaaba. This is a case of abrogation in the tremendous Qur'an. And this is the meaning of his saying, the meaning of the saying of the author, مِنْهُ نَاسِخٌ وَمَنْسُوخٌ. That the Qur'an contains nasikh, the ayahs which abrogate, and mansukh, ayahs which have been abrogated. Shaykh Fawzan finished this by saying, and no one denies abrogation in the Qur'an or in the legislated rulings except for the people of misguidance, Ahlul Dalal, people of misguidance. And then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continues, Rahimahullah, وَخَاصٌ وَعَامٌ. Continuing with regard to the Qur'an that it contains, he said, and the general and the specific. The khas, the general, and the aam, or the other way around rather. The specific, the khas, and the aam, and the general. Contains the specific and the general. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, the Qur'an contains that which is khas, that which is specific, and that which is general, aam. And then he explains. He said, the arm, the general text, is اللَّفْظُ الشَّامِلُ لِكُلِّ الْأَفْرَادِ. A general text, the arm, is a comprehensive wording which covers all individual cases. And the خاص, the specific, هو اللفظ الخاص بطائفة. The specific is the specific wording, or rather it is the wording specific to one group, or one part. Then he gives an example. He said, an example of that is his saying, He the Most High, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Surah Al-Asr, 103rd Surah, Ayah 2, with the explanation, mankind is truly in loss. He said this is a general wording. This is a wording general to all of mankind, to all of humanity. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Mankind are certainly in loss. So this is a general statement, a general text, in general to the whole of mankind. And he continues, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Surah Al-Asr, the next ayah, the beginning of the next ayah. Except, with the meaning, except for those who have iman. Except for those who are true believers. The Shaykh said, this is specific. This is specific or particular. It's specific to the believers. I mean, an exception has been made here. This is something specific, something particular. Except for the believers. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because the mukhassasat are of different types, those texts of specification are of different types. From them are texts of specification, or texts which particularize, which are connected. And from them there are particularizing texts which are disconnected, as is well known in the books of the principles of fiqh. Meaning there are some texts, as occurs here, that the general text is mentioned, then straight after it, joined to it and straight after it, is a specific text. That mankind, all of them are in loss, the general text, then straight after it, joined to it, comes the specific and particular text, except for the believers. Whereas there are other texts where it's somewhere else, disconnected. Ya rahmakallah. Then the Shaykh finished this section by saying, bringing the principle from principles of fiqh, and the arm, the general text is taken and understood in the light of the specific. In the general text, we understand it and take it in the light of the specific text. In the specific text, the more particular text takes precedence and explains for us the general text. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, he continued, wa amrun wa nahyun. Continue with regard to the Quran that it contains, he said, and commands and prohibitions. And commands and prohibitions. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, the command, the amr, is a request for an action, such as وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةُ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 43, with the explanation, and establish the prayer, and give the zakat. This is a request for the prayer, and request for the zakat. And the prohibition, the nahi, is a request for withholding. I mean, for not doing something. And then he gives an example. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. The ayah with the explanation. And do not approach zina. Do not approach fornication. The ayah from Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, ayah 32. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is a nahi, this is a prohibition of the means leading to zina, to fornication, with regard to looking and uncovering the private parts and being alone with a non-related woman, or being alone with a strange and unrelated woman, and a woman's traveling on a journey without a guardian, a mahram. All of these are means which lead to zina, to fornication, and lead to it. So therefore, the legislator has forbidden them. He said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Same ayah from Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, ayah 32, with the explanation, and do not approach fornication. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and he did not say, وَلَا تَزْنُوا. Only. He didn't just say, do not commit fornication. Rather, he said, لا تقربوا, do not approach, do not draw close to fornication. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned a principle. He said, and when something is forbidden, and its means are forbidden, then that is more effective than just forbidding the thing itself alone. The forbiddance of something, and forbiddance of the means which lead to it, that's more effective, more effective in stopping it happening, than just forbidding the thing itself. Don't do this. He said, giving a further example of a prohibition, and he, the Most High, said, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 188, with the explanation, and do not devour each other's property unjustly. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is a prohibition, meaning, of course, explaining, he moved on to what occurs in the actual text, but anyway, he said, meaning, do not devour, some of you, the property of others, falsely, unjustly, meaning, in other than a legislated way, and without permission from the person who owns the property. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. From Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, Ayah 29, with the explanation, unless it is trade between you, which is done by mutual consent. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, to the rest of the commands and the prohibitions which are in the Qur'an, the command for everything good and the prohibition from everything evil. Ya rahmakallah. Now he moves on to the next ayah. The Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah continued, bringing an ayah here, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه تنزيل من حكيم حميد. Surah Fussilat, the 41st surah, ayah 42, with the explanation, falsehood does not approach it, the Qur'an, falsehood does not approach it from before it or from behind it. It was sent down by one all-wise, deserving of all praise. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation of this ayah, he said, he, the Most High, said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِالذِّكْرِ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّهُ لَكِتَابٌ عَزِيزٌ. He said, he, the Most High, said, the ayah from Surah Fussilat, the previous ayah to this one, Surah Fussilat, 41st surah, ayah 41, with the explanation, those who disbelieved in the reminder, when it came to them, and it is certainly a mighty book, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, by mighty, meaning by aziz, mighty, meaning, strongly protected. No one is able to reach it in order to alter it. And then comes this ayah, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. With the explanation, falsehood does not approach it from in front of it, nor from behind it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, there was nothing before it to put the lie to it, and there is nothing coming after it to put the lie to it. Nothing before the Qur'an shows it to be a lie, and nothing coming after it can show it to be a lie. تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. Complete the rest of this ayah with the explanation, it was sent down by one all-wise, deserving of all praise. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he is Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So the Qur'an was munazzalun غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقٍ. So the Qur'an was sent down. It is not created. And then the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, continues with what we'll take as the last part today, inshaAllah. He said, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى قُلْ لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Surah Al-Isra, the 17th surah, ayah 88. The explanation that the Imam said, and his saying, He the Most High. The ayah with the explanation, say, if mankind and the jinn were to unite to produce the like of this Qur'an, they could not produce its like even if they helped each other. Even if they helped each other. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in explanation, when Allah the Most High sent down the Qur'an, then the enemies and the unbelievers spoke and said, this Qur'an is just stories of the ancient people. Just stories about the ancient people. Which he has copied. Meaning stories of the previous nations. Which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote down. And started to read to you. Nothing came down to him from Allah. Rather, it is just fables, asatir, fables or myths. And the previous lies, which they call fables. And some of them said this Quran was poetry. And some of them said it was magic, sorcery. And they said, and some of them said, if I wished, then I could bring down the like of what Allah sent down. And they said, the Qur'an is not from Allah. So anyway, it is from Muhammad. This is what they said. It is from Muhammad. Whatever the case, it is from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they described it with these descriptions. Then the Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentioned some ayahs of what the unbelievers said about the Qur'an, how they described the Qur'an. In هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ Surah Al-Muddathir, 74th Surah, Ayah 25, with the explanation that they said, this is just the saying of a man. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning the saying of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he quotes some further ayahs. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا إِفْقٌ إِفْتَرَاهُ وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ فَقَدْ جَاءُوا ظُلْمًا وَزُورَهُ وَقَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ اكْتَتَبَهَا فَهِيَ تُمْلَى عَلَيْهِ بُكْرَةً وَعَصِيلَةً Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th surah, ayahs 4 to 5, with the explanation. And those who disbelieved said, this is just a lie which he invented and some other people helped him upon it. Then they have come with something unjust and a lie. And they said, it is tales of the ancient people which he has written down and he dictates it to you morning and evening. Or it is dictated to you morning and evening. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah the Majestic and Most High challenged them and said, since you say that the Quran is from Muhammad and that it is from the speech of a human and Muhammad is a human like you, and this Qur'an is composed of letters, and from words, and from verses, in your language, which you speak to others in. Then since you say that this Qur'an is from the speech of a man, and you are men, indeed you are the most eloquent of mankind at your time, then bring the like of this Qur'an. Bring the like of this Qur'an. Allah challenged them to bring its like, and they were not able to do so. قُلْ لَإِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. The same ayah of the text, Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, ayah 88. With the explanation, say, if the whole of mankind and jinn gathered together to bring the like of this Qur'an, they could not bring its like, even if they helped each other. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this ayah came down to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was in Mecca, before the migration, before he had power, or a state, or strength. And yet, despite this, he challenged them with this challenge. Despite the severity of their opposition to him, and they were unable to do it. And then Allah challenged them to bring 10 surahs. I mean, a lighter challenge, just to bring 10 surahs. Initially, the whole bring a Quran like this one, and they couldn't do it. Then they say, he said, Allah the Most High challenged them to bring 10 surahs. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ وَدْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Surah Hud, the 11th Surah, Ayah 13, with the explanation. Or do they say he invented it? Say, then bring 10 surahs like it, which have been invented. And call whoever you wish besides Allah. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, seek the aid of whomever you wish from the jinn and mankind, and bring 10 surahs like this Qur'an. They were not able to do so. Then he said, Allah challenged them then to bring a single surah. I mean, after this, after the Qur'an like this one, or 10 surahs like this one, then the challenge, just bring a single surah then. Sheikh said, indeed, the shortest surah, like surah Inna A'atainaka al-Kawthar, or Idha Ja'a Nasrullahi wal-Fath, either of these two surahs, which are only three ayahs each, Surah Al-Kawthar and Surah Al-Nasr. Surah Al-Nasr, 110th Surah. The Shaykh said, he challenged them to bring a Surah with the like of this Qur'an. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ أَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second Surah, Ayah 23. The explanation. And if you are in any doubt about that which we have sent down to our slave, then bring a surah with its like. Bring a surah which is like it. And call your witnesses besides Allah if you are truthful. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, explaining the meaning, seek the aid of whomever you wish and bring whomever you wish to witness that this surah which you bring is the like of the Qur'an. And they were not able to do so. And so there it becomes clear and established that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Because if it had been from the speech of a man, they would have been able to bring its like. So this proves that it is not from the speech of humans. Rather, it is from the speech of the Creator, the Majestic and Most High. So the Qur'an is a tremendous sign and a miracle, which is the greatest of the miracles of the Messenger. And it is a miracle which remains throughout the ages. And the challenge still stands for everyone until the hour is established. No one has been able to do it, and no one will be able to. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِّثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 23 to 24. Same ayah with the next part of the next ayah with the explanation. And if you are in any doubt about that which we sent down to our slave, then bring a single surah like it and call your witnesses besides Allah, if you are truthful. And if you do not do it, and you will not be able to do it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is information about the future, meaning وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, and you will not be able to do it. So this is information about the future, until the hour is established. And the challenge stands. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. The completion of the ayah 24 of Surah Al-Baqarah, with the explanation. And if you do not do it, and you will not be able to do it, then fear the fire whose fuel is men. That fear the fire, fear the fire whose fuel is men and stones, which has been prepared for the unbelievers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the Qur'an still challenges the whole world and all of mankind, the jinn and mankind, to bring the like of the shortest surah from the surahs of the Qur'an. So this is a clear proof that this Qur'an is revelation sent down from one all-wise, deserving of all praise, and that it is the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, since no one has been able to bring the like of the speech of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? Depending on the meaning of the word ambiguous. Oh. They mean by that, could carry more than one meaning. Maybe, inshallah. It's better to say, as the Sheikh Fawzan explained, that the muhkam means that which its meaning is immediately apparent, and the mutashabih, that the meaning is not immediately apparent, and the correct meaning only becomes clear in the light of other ayahs. It's better if it's said that way, inshallah. I mean, the meaning is clear, but only after it's been compared to other ayahs. Sometimes it could mean one thing, or it could mean another, and the other ayahs which are clear, they make clear that this is the meaning and not that. Wallahu a'lam. جزاك الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك